Welcome to the That's Life podcast, where we discuss the ups and downs of life and everything in between. Here's your host, Shane Makita.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of That's Life podcast with your host, me, Shane Lakita. And I have a guest with me tonight. I've told you guys this many, many times before, and I know that right now I just want to kind of fill you guys in with the fact that I've had this gentleman on this podcast with me before. I've been on his podcast. We've been just always supporting each other and lifting each other up in the podcast world, social media world, men's mental health world, all the different stuff that we try to be able to work with. I want to introduce you guys to my friend Daryl Perry. He goes way back, all the way back on days of whether it's weight loss, whether it's No Finish Line Nation, whether it's everything, just all across the board. He's been a big supporter and a pretty inspirational guy himself. We're going to get into some of the details of his journey and his story and things like that or whatever. And like I said, I always try to bring people that inspire me onto the podcast that hopefully can inspire you as well. So Daryl, welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate you having me, man. And I just had 7 years of the last 7 years of my life, I think, just flashed before my eyes with that intro. I appreciate it. But no, man, we intersect on so many different things. I love when we're able to get together and jam back and forth like this. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. So one of the big things that I've been really, really stuck on and fixated a lot, and the reason I thought of you a lot in this space is around. So I shared the other day, we opened up some dialogue with a buddy of mine, and we're just going to get right into it. My friend was talking to me, and we were chatting about stuff, and he was checking in on me, right? And he's one of those friends, he knows when I got something going on. He just knows just a little bit of that information to be able to say, something's up. He's not either talking that much, or he's quiet, or he's gone dormant, which I'll talk about that as well. But one of the things that stood out to me was he reached out to me and he said, hey, I got a question for you. So what? He goes, haven't heard from you much. And I just wanted to make sure that you're all right. And I stopped in the moment and I thought to myself, man, like, okay, I've got some friends in my tribe, in my circle that are those that know when you get quiet, it's time to maybe step in and just say, hey, say, I love you. Or, hey, you know, high fives, or, hey, great job, or whatever it is. And then, of course, I automatically thought, oh, you know, it's a perfect timing as I'm having this thought process to bring Daryl in on with this, because we talk a lot about mental health. We talk about a lot about the way men think about things and everything else. And I just wanted to, after you heard that little short story right there of my friend that reached out to me, what are your initial thoughts on something like that when you hear that?
I think that we all need to be checked in on. I think that's also one of the hardest things for guys, because you hear this all the time, right? Well, I'm always here if you need to talk. But like, just getting to the point as men where we feel comfortable enough to talk is a challenge. And I think one of the hardest things to do, it's hard to do, but one of the first things we need to do is connect with who we actually are and how we feel, which is a very challenging thing, because you've got to cut through the muck of how we were raised, how we looked at society. And we're like, all right, well, this is what it means to be a guy. How do I really feel? Wait, that's how I feel. Am I supposed to feel that way? I'm supposed to feel this other way that I've been told to feel. So, it's always good when somebody what do they call that? I think they say that your silence is deafening, or your silence is really loud. So it sounds like that was the situation you were describing.
Yeah, it's interesting because I always talk about tribes, and I always talk about people that you have in your circle and in your inner winding. And I like what you just said a minute ago, that not only do you need to have some of those people in your life to be able to not only maybe bring you up, lift you up when you need it, or even knock you down a couple pegs when you need it, because I know I need that sometimes too. So you got this push pull of all this stuff. But my buddy Jonathan Giordano, who's also known as the Mud Hustler, used to always say to me, we used to always talk back and forth, and he legitimately would always say, I know, and you should know, that if I go quiet and I'm not texting you or talking to you, something's up, right? Something's going on, whether I'm in this space where I don't want to talk to anybody, or I'm in the space where I'm depressed, or I'm kind of down in the dumps, or I'm not feeling that great about myself, or things aren't going the way that I want it to. And once you build trust with somebody, to be able to know that that's your cue, right? That's your thing. And they're in your tribe. I believe wholeheartedly that it's, if they're there, if they're in that tribe, because my circle's small, it's not huge. I don't have like this big wide range of circle, even though I got social media friends, I got all kinds of stuff, but my true circle is pretty small. It's whittled down to those folks I know are going to reach out to me when I need it, and I will reach out to them as well. So there's a couple different avenues we could take with that. But one of the biggest things for me is I'm realizing very quickly the people that have been in my life, even for the last 5, 6, 7 years, like yourself, literally checking in on me every once in a while, recording little audio messages or saying, hey, bud, just checking in, blah, blah, blah. There's any other, even if it wasn't even like you were worried about anything, but you were doing it just to check in and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. That's a big deal. And I think we all should start practicing that a whole lot more.
Yeah. And I think we practice it when we notice it. Cause yes, you and I have both done that for each other over the years, because it's interesting. And the noise of social media in that space with so many things, you know, being thrown at you, you do at times, and maybe it's even subconsciously, pick up on somebody's either their tendency of putting their tendency and cadence of putting things out, or maybe it's how they deliver a message. And maybe there's like a slight voice crack in the video or something, or maybe like a slight thing in the eye that you notice. But you know, I think it's very important when you notice it to reach out. And I would always much rather have somebody reach out and everything be okay, and they just like maybe see something that I wasn't aware of. I'm not even going to say that, you know, because maybe they noticed it, and maybe I'm like trying to tell myself that I'm in a completely different space, but I'm really like trying to hold stuff together. I do think it's very important to reach out. I also think I'm glad you mentioned social media friends versus inner circle.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important distinction, because when we're talking about ourselves as individuals, this is the highest value commodity that we can offer to the world. And once you truly know, we're going to use a couple social media buzzwords, when you know your worth, what your actual worth is, well, then you don't start allowing just everyone to have access to you for everything. You start to have things that you're really willing to, this is the standard to have any type of access to me. This is the standard at this level. And I think one of the hardest things for people to realize, for all of us, is that people are going to kind of come in and out of your life. They're going to have different roles, and they're going to have, you know, they'll have a different place, just like you're going to come in and out of their life as well. And then there's this whole thing of like people on the internet, where you see their lives day in and day out. You have conversations here and there, you know, like you start to know, like people's kids' names, and you know what sports they play, and you know the sports teams that people follow, and like, I mean, you start to have this, you know, it is this connection of community, whereas you know them, you root for them, but you also know that there's a whole person that is not this persona that they're putting out online. And I think persona is a good way of looking at it. I think it might have a negative connotation for some people, but I look at persona as, if I take my personality, who I am as a person, and I take certain characteristics and I'm pushing that out there at full force, it's me, but it's a, hey, let me get your attention, cause I have something to say version of me. That's the persona. So I think a lot of times we talk a lot about how authenticity is a big thing on social media. I think persona plays into that, but there's a lot of nuanced things when it comes to relationships and closeness and just the online vast number of people as a whole and how everybody fits together.
I agree with a lot of what you were just saying, yeah. Like a ton of it, because at the end of the day, so I'll give you a little story. So last night, today's Thursday. So Tuesday night, I was on my live on TikTok, and I had about 50 people in there. And what we were doing is we had a member of our community, and I always try to write out, I got new merch coming soon that says COMM and then unity in big letters, because unity is what it's all about. It's all about coming together as people, as friends, as family, and everything. So basically, what it was is I had 50 people in the room, and one of the things that we did that night, I found out 2 days before that one of the members of the community had passed away earlier in the week. She was a little bit older. She had gotten sick and she was battling illness, and she was up and down, and she was always super supportive. She hired me for an avatar. We talked a lot about stuff, what she wanted from the avatar. And then after I drew the avatar, she was like, "You made me feel beautiful. You made me feel young," you know, all these different things that she was expressing for herself. And then I found out through one of the other members of the community, they had reached back out to me and said that she had passed. So two nights ago, I decided I'm going to do a live. And I know that she used to request music, certain songs. Yeah. So I took like the top six or seven songs that she requested that I remember specifically through my live and somebody else's live. And I played them right off to start the live off. And I put her avatar behind me on the green screen. Now, one of the things that happened during this live was there was so much love and so much care that was in this live. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I'm a 300 pound man. I'm a big dude. I got this large personality. I'm this, that, and the other. And I'm almost in the point where I'm sobbing like with tears because I'm seeing all these people just coming together, and they were doing nothing, not just loving on her because, you know, not even knowing this, her whole family showed up. There was like seven or eight family members that showed up in this live because they got invites. Right. I was like, oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah. So we're there, and I'm getting emotional because I'm looking at it, and everybody's loving on each other, right? They're like, hey, and they all know each other by their first names, and there's this community, there's this vibe going on the whole thing. It got to the point where I got so quiet. I'm just sitting there playing music, and I'm usually always, you know, I'm talking to everybody. Yeah. I'm greeting people. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm going, man, you know what? I wouldn't act this way probably in my real life. Now, I'm pretty much, the way you see me in person is exactly what you see on the screen, right? Yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't necessarily know if I would put myself out there to be super emotional, to be in tears, to be having these conversations, just kind of like loving on everybody. I might, but in the grand scheme of it, the internet and the social media gave me that ability to be able to do so. It gave me permission to be able to just bear myself back and be honest. And they were honest. And we were all just in this big, I got messages for like hours after that live going, "You have no idea how much I needed to be in that room at that moment in time. I'm going through blah, blah, blah. I'm going through this." So to your point, right? There's a circle that I know these are the people that I'm going to depend on to be there for me. I'm going to be there for them no matter what, no matter where it is, no matter how it goes. And then you have a little bit wider of a range where you got the outliers of all these people that you've met through social media. And you and I have good friends that we've met on social media, including ourselves, like literally people that you've never met. I would have never met you in my life. It wasn't for the fact that the internet, you, me, even though we might've met some other way, I don't know, but this is like, I feel like if you let yourself be just a little bit vulnerable and try to be able to get into the right community, the right people, find your tribe, and then you literally just lean in on those people and lean in on those folks to be able to say, "We're here together. We're building something strong." I started those lives, Daryl, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I would have one person in that live. It was just me and one other person. They'd show up and I'd be doing art. I'd be like, "Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?" We'd be sitting there just jamming out. And now I've got people that religiously get there every Tuesday night to be able to sit down with me. That means more to me that I couldn't even, I can't put words to it to understand how important it is that I was able to become vulnerable and bear myself back and open myself up to these people. And all of a sudden, wow, what a community that we're building. So my PSA, or to shorten that up as best I can, is don't be afraid to have conversations. Don't be afraid. Social media and internet get a lot of bad raps. We know that, right? A lot of trolls out there, a lot of people that are doing things they're not supposed to. But at the end of the day, I love the fact that we built a community, and I know I can depend on a lot of these folks to be there for me, and I'm going to be there for them. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there. If you're hemming and hawing over it, do it. Just get out there, and who knows, you may meet your best friend in the world. And if you do have anything, just block and scroll and keep moving on if you got to, you know what I mean? Well, whatever. But at the end of the day, you got to put yourself out there, build your community and build your resources that you need during this time when we need better mental health and better areas where we can just kind of sit down and figure things out together. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with all of that. And I think one thing that can help when you're thinking about any individual that comes across a message from you or a piece of content, that's probably the best place to typically start, is if you're sharing aspects of your story or message, is that I believe everybody behind the screen, they're either trying to get into a better place, working towards being in a better place, or they, even if they've been in a going down one particular road up until the moment that they saw your message, they can change course. And I think when you start to see the power of change and the power of you absolutely can, you can say inspire, but I think you can make people think, because I think everybody can change, but they do it on their own time, which kind of puts a fly in the ointment for all the inspiration or all the motivational people. Cause it's like, yeah, you should do it. You should do it. Now people are going to do it when they're ready.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it that way, and you're right, for it's easy in not just social media, but in society, it seems like absolute point of views, and especially negative absolute point of views, get a lot of attention. There's a lot of other good stuff going on too. And there's a lot of hopeful stuff going on. And that's the kind of stuff that I think if we put that message out and continue to drive it home and continue to, you know, show that appropriate level of vulnerability and connect people, good things happen.
Yeah. I think it's also important to remember that each of us, all of us, every single person listening to this podcast right now, if you're watching the video or whatever else, every single one of us have a story. We've all got a story, every one of us. Now, whether that story starts off from you where you had a silver spoon in your mouth your whole life and you were given everything you wanted to, or you've been through the dredges and like lived in poverty and grew up in play, whatever your story is, everybody has a story. And what I feel is once people can connect with a story that you may have, something that you've been through, like most of the people that I bring on the podcast are people that have been through something or overcome adversity or are just super inspirational and I needed it at that moment in time. So I think it's interesting to me because I need to be able to connect with somebody on that level. One of the things that a lot of people say to me is that I love your story. I love the story about your dad. I love the story about you battling through Alzheimer's with your father. I love the story about your kid going through trouble that he went through, knowing that I'm not alone, that I'm a parent of a child that has ADHD and is on the spectrum and has issues or anything like that. All these different things make it relatable. And the reason I bring that up, Daryl, is because what drew me to you when I first started even being introduced to you or even getting to know you, I would have never known that you had certain conditions and certain things that go on outside of it, because that's not, you're not like, hey, look at where I'm at with it. Right. But on the same token, once I found out that part of it, knowing you as a friend and as a person mm-hmm. that I've gotten to know, mm-hmm. then I'm like, wow, man, like the adversity that you've had to overcome. So you tell us just a little bit about where you're at, because I know you, every morning you get up with a cup of coffee and you walk into the kitchen now, right? And you say day, whatever, lots yeah. of day, yeah. whatever it is. And tell everybody kind of like what you struggle with and where you're at with it, and just kind of share a little bit why you do those videos.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So from the top, I mean, the big thing with all of my messaging online is I want people to be able to embrace who they are as they are right now. Like whatever, however you feel, whatever you look like, whatever you're going through, be able to embrace it. And that is something that I've had to do. That has been my life. So, you know, what Shane's talking about is I was born with cerebral palsy. For me, I was born 3 months premature. There was a lack of oxygen at birth. And basically, there was a lack of oxygen to my brain at birth. So there was brain damage that came from that. Every case instance is going to be a little different. Right. For me, physically, when I'm standing up, probably 3/4 of my body is impacted. I'm very noticeably disabled. Now, the fortunate thing for me, does not impact my speech. For many people, it does. And also, and I make the joke, is the 25% that isn't impacted is like my right hand. So I can do the selfies and I can do all the videos and stuff. But, what you're talking about. So I started doing when I first got online, the other part of me, I've had two careers over 20 years of a 20 year span, as I've worked in marketing and I've been in the fitness industry. Yep. And I've worked all roles. I've had pretty much all roles, both in person and online when it comes to health and fitness. Been a certified personal trainer since 2011. Have kept that up and have done and do all kinds of things with that stuff. But one thing that when I got online is I'm like, well, this is the first time in my life where, you know, I'm not being sized up by my physical appearance and my disability. This is kind of nice. It's nice being on the even playing field. And one thing for any listener that has a disability or there's anything noticeably different about you, you probably notice how people look at you. Like you'll look in their eyes and you'll see how they view you. So for me in life, if people were making eye contact, a lot of times it was pity. Sometimes it was they were creeped out by things. But like when I was online, if I got video messages from people, like I would see, you know, like they were happy to see me. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like I'm on a level playing field. And I would talk about having CP every so often. And like maybe once or twice, I put a video of me walking. I remember I put a video of me working out up, and it got a really good response, but it was always something that I was very much insecure about. And when I started doing those videos, I'm like, I looked to see how many days it had been since I was born, 15,000 some odd something when I first saw it. And I just would record a video of me walking into the kitchen, picking up a cup of coffee and pouring cold foam over an iced coffee, or drinking water now, because now I've got the, which I need to get this sent out to you because we're doing a sticker exchange, but I got the branded stickers on there. So, you know, anytime you can push the merch, go for it.
I've already done in this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So TikTok shop is now up and running. So there's that too. But you know, it's like, this was my way of taking ownership. It's like first thing in the day, here I am. Here's what I'm about. Here's the thing I've been insecure about, but here it is. And it did just start out like, this is day whatever of me having CP, but you know how it is. And this is why I'm such a huge fan of people. Like if there is something in life that you want to do, I know you and I, like for you and I, we probably have conversations with people that are thinking about starting podcasts, and I'm just like, do it. Well, right. I don't have the mic that I need. It doesn't matter. Just start and see what happens. Because exactly. Whatever you start with is not going to be what it ends up, you know, like that's not where you're going to end up. And it was the same thing with that video. So like those videos now, I still record them every morning. I don't always do the voiceovers with them, but I mean, you know, those videos get, they do really well as far as awareness and engagement. And I'll post them on YouTube as shorts. And YouTube is a place I never thought, I have channels. I never thought I would get any growth there, but I'm actually starting to get growth. I had, I want to say 30 subscribers for like 4 years. And then like in 2 to 3 months, I'm up to like 120.
Nice.
And I just it, like, and you know how competitive that is.
Oh yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's just one of these things of putting yourself out there and trying things. And I remember with you, pre-pandemic, everybody during the pandemic is on TikTok, and you before the pandemic, I remember you, you're like, I'm trying these TikTok videos. You're doing all these effects with the Star Wars cups and stuff. And you're like, get on TikTok. It only took me like a year and a half, halfway through the pandemic, I started doing it. But I mean, it's the whole thing of just putting yourself out there.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things that you said. I took some notes here. Here's one of the things that I wanted to say to you is you said that your version of CP didn't affect your speech, right?
Right.
Well, here's why it didn't affect your speech. Because you're meant to do what you do. That's why. Because yes. You're able to eloquently be able to say the words you need to say to be able to inspire others, knowing what you've been through, to be able to motivate others and be able to push people forward. You can do it in a way that people can understand. Not to say that you couldn't if you had a mentor like that, but you have a knack for being able to do that. And I think that you're meant to do what you're doing right now. And that's part of it. That's why you were graced with the fact that, hey, you know what? It didn't affect my speech all that much, but everything else it does, I'm inspired and I love it. I wanted to share that with you because it stood out to me. And I said, there's a reason why. And that's the reason, because you can eloquently get that out there to bring awareness, to bring visibility, to inspire folks that either have family members that have it, or they know people that do, or they're maybe they're even like providers that like help out people that do that kind of stuff, to know what the thought process of that looks like is pretty amazing. So that's the first thing
Something I want to say, and I mean, the first time that I got a message from a parent that had a baby with this kind of, like, with a disability, and it's like, it's crazy when you think about it, but them seeing someone as an adult that is living, you know, like having a life, moving around, doing all these things, it gives them hope. And right. You know, it's one of these things where, and I don't know how you feel about this, I finally was like, cool, like, you know, just but like reluctantly, like I mean, you end up leading in your day-to-day life. And I think at first when you're like, geez, is this really what I'm here to do? Is this really what the purpose is? And when we say this, like, you know, I'm saying this to you as someone that has that does the day in, day out of getting these messages out. And it's not just putting the stuff on social media, but it's categorizing the websites so people can go through and do that. It's putting together, you know, the almost daily email and getting a structure to where that's going out 5 to 7 days a week, because I think the message is that important.
Hey guys, one of the things that I get from a lot of individuals that listen to the show, that watch the show, that follow me on social media is, how can I help the podcast? Well, here's one of the ways that you can. I have a Patreon page. Now, you may not be familiar with what a Patreon page is, but what you can do is you could sign up to become a patron of the show. You could donate monthly to the show. Now, after a few months of donating monthly to the show, there's different tiers to be able to donate to, but you'll get some tchotchkes back. You'll get some merchandise back. You'll get something for actually donating to the show. But in the meantime, it helps to alleviate some of the cost that comes into running a podcast or doing different stuff. So if you're looking to support, I'm going to place the link of the Patreon page right into the bio. And I'll also tell you what it is. It's www.patreon.com/that's_life. And this way, you could support the podcast. You can give back. We could do all kinds of different stuff, and we can grow together. So I appreciate all the support you've given me in the past and in the future and right now. So thank you so much. And back to the show.
I have a responsibility to do this, and I know.
What's your reasoning for doing it? Like, what's your? Is it a responsibility, or is it?
Well, yes and yes. So here's the thing. I at a very young age, back in the 80s, you know, really started to really cope with food as a kid. I love to eat. I was very shy, and food was a way of comfort for me. And I started really noticing things about my weight when I was probably 12 or 13 years old, when kids would really start to say stuff. And I went to, you know, I had growth spurts and stuff. And I might have told you the story, like, way back, kids, like when I was in elementary school, they weighed us publicly in front of our classmates. Like, this was actually a thing. Like,
what?
They would call back. Well, they did it here in Kentucky. So yeah. And anybody listening right now, please let us know if you were publicly weighed in school. Cause I know it sounds insane, but I remember I had a growth spurt. So I was like 8 years old, and I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, the brand Bugle Boy. I wore the Bugle Boy Husky stuff.
Oh yeah.
That's what I was. Yeah, that's what I was. So anyway, so they were calling out these weights, and I remember these kids were like 45, 50 pounds. And I swear they called out 80 pounds for me. And they were like, it was like an audible gasp. Yeah. 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 So that might be the first time I was actually aware of my weight now, but fast forwarding, you know, I lost weight in high school. And then I did the whole, like, I got into the bodybuilding type stuff in college. So I was like spending all the time in the gym and all this. And I realized, I'm like, it didn't matter how much weight I lost. It didn't matter how bulky I got, it wasn't fixing anything in here. Mm. Well, and then I'm going to say my first real job out of college, because I worked at the gym in college my last year, and I had some retail jobs. I sold cars for like 2 to 3 months in college too. That was a good internship because you see what you don't want.
Podcast on my car sales experience, dude.
What's up?
I could do a full podcast on just my car selling
experience. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, there's some stories on that. You and I will talk about that off air first. But the thing is out of college, I got into marketing and I started to see, and then I started to really study how the food industry markets against us and how the weight loss industry kind of built itself. And like in the marketing jobs that I've had. So for anybody that works in marketing, I've had a career in all of it. I worked years in corporate. I worked for a couple of agencies that totaled about 3 years. I did the freelance thing and I've built all the stuff for Your Level Fitness. So like, but I kept coming back to how the food industry and the fitness industry markets against us. And I'm like, I don't like them marketing against our insecurities. Right. So my whole role in life is getting a message out that is more contextual. Look, however you eat, however you exercise, my theory is if you base it around your preferences, like base it around the stuff that you actually enjoy first, then that's a good place to start. Because I think we were never taught a real foundation for doing that, how we should eat and how we should exercise. We just get thrown into this mass marketed, you know, magazines at the grocery store and now we have all the social media influencers and stuff pushing, you know, this way to do this and that way to do that. It's like if we have the foundation and we know where we're starting from, then we can try all of these things and see if they work for us. So as far as getting the message out, my initial thought was, this is why I started podcasting. I was going to do short 5 to 10 minute episodes. At that point, I'd worked in the industry for about close to a decade, a little bit over a decade on and off. And then I was like, I'm just going to do quick practical tips that people can take away. And what I realized between what I was putting out for podcasts and what I was seeing on social media is I would say things like, don't focus on the scale, focus on your actions. And I remember somebody commented, thanks, I needed to hear this today. Well, you know how it is when you're trying to get content out regularly. And a few weeks later, I couldn't figure out what post I wanted to put out. And I put that same one out. And the same person was like, thanks, I needed to hear this. I'm like, you needed to hear it a couple of weeks ago. What's going on? But what that reminded me of is like we need to be reminded of this stuff all the time, and we constantly work on it. And one of my biggest pet peeves with the fitness industry, and you know how social media works, one side or the other is if you're absolute one way or the other, you can make a point in a 15-second video and you can get people to identify with you or argue with you, and they can duke it out in the comments and you can get more views. But the one thing I think that happens in the fitness space is you end up with these trainers and influencers saying, well, you should do this. We all know what we should do. Why aren't we doing it? Where we need to be met at our level. And that's, you know, so that's why, again, I mentioned the daily email. I started to take my stuff and link it up on my websites, because if you have my message of really connect with who you are, you know, really take your time, work at a deliberate pace. And then the next three things you see are, you know, like flashy things that you should buy, weight loss things that you should try. Like my message gets drawn out. So I'm like, I really need to protect this. I need to send it, you know, every day to people. And then, I also, there's something with my clients, because I do coaching. I have a structure for setting and keeping up with your goals week to week. Well, that's part of this almost daily email flow. If you're somebody that interacts with the content, then you end up getting those messages 3 days a week as far as setting the goals. So I put a little bit of context in there. But then also, there's a year-long challenge. If you go to the site, and it's yourlevelfitness.com/YLF365, it's a year-long challenge, and it gets you working on the relationship you have with yourself. You do things like 1 minute of positive affirmations in the morning, which we all think we're going through the motions the first 2 weeks we do it. Don't worry about it. That's everybody. But it gets you practicing journaling regularly. But yeah, man, I mean, this is what I'm doing in life. And what I learned after the first few years, because I probably really structured my message in this direction not long after I started my first podcast in 2018. Yep. But like, I can't just have like my own little ecosystem and then let, you know, then people go off into the wild of the internet because the message gets lost. Right. So now the way that I'm building things out and have been building things out, like that's why I'm everywhere and that's why I do everything. So.
Well, I love it. If anybody that's listening to this that had not heard your story before or wasn't as familiar, understands that you're grinding and you're doing the things that you have to do. You're hustling to be able to get your message out there. What I love about it, though, is I've known you for a while, and I didn't even know with your level of fitness, I didn't put two and two together to understand that it's all about being met at your level, where you are at. What you see, what I think of when you say that, I think of sustainability. I think of being able to actually do something that I like to do that fits within my parameters and where I'm at with everything. And if you go down this road of what we've all been trained on, the starvation diets, the yo-yos, the all the different things that we go through, the lose fat shakes and the whatever else that goes on, all those things that go on. At the end of the day, it's all about perseverance and hard work and doing the things that you have to do within the specs and the space that you live in with where you're at. Because my hard work is going to look a lot different than your hard work.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So
you sit right now, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like, so, and I wish now the your level fitness thing worked out beautifully. Initially, that wasn't the reason I went with this name was I had a few names scribbled out that I could get a .com domain for when I was starting my business. And this happened to be one of them. And then the more I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I went with it. Cause if I did with what most people do, which is like, if I went with Daryl Perry Fitness or whatever, like I couldn't have branched out into so many different things. There is one thing that you said, and I want to put, cause you're correct about it, but I want to put a little bit of my parameters on it. You mentioned hustle. Now, I have, and I for years, man, I was right there with everybody all the time. Like you would have thought, and I even posted some meme style posts about it. Like you would have thought there were 30 of me. I work very hard, but I have systems, and I in most cases, like I have very defined ending hours of work. So I typically try to work Monday through Friday, be done by like 4:30, and I try to like have my time away. And then that way it's like when there's something like this where you and I, you know, because like schedules and everything, we're trying to get a podcast together, then we can plan it out ahead of time. But I think, and this goes back to our conversation at the very beginning about, you know, reaching out and sensing things. And I said you got to sense things within yourself. Sometimes I think the best way to really sense things for yourself is actually stepping away. Whether that's for a couple of hours and coming back, days, weeks, there's been months I've had to put stuff aside and not look at it. And then I come back and I'm like, maybe I should work on that, or maybe I should do something else. So I think the time away, there's a time for hustling, but you got to make that time for yourself too. Otherwise it'll be consumed. You'll be consumed by it.
Yeah. I mean, we hear a lot of people talk a lot about self-care and making sure that you, and the other part of it, I know it's cliche, but I do live and believe in the world of making sure that your cup is full before you try to be able to do anything. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're not taking the time, like you said, with that self-care piece, if it is stepping away, because there's been many times I've been doing my Tuesday night lives on TikTok now for almost 4 years, every single Tuesday. Like I have not, like my wife, like even on days when I'm like, I'm just going to be, she goes, you need to go up there and do it. She goes, because I know how you feel after you get done with that. And I know how you feel when you're uplifting and encouraging people and jamming out with people and doing the things that you have to do. Because the live isn't just about music. It's about connection. It's about encouraging each other on birthdays or when people are having a tough time. All those things. People need people. And at the end of the day, like we opened up with, the fact that if you can build your community of where you're at with it, I think it really does matter. I love what you said there, though, because I think it's super important. And I talk a lot about that, but I don't practice what I preach because I'm always hustling. I'm working three regular jobs. I'm working a full-time job and two part-time jobs. I got my podcast. I got my live. I got social media. I got all these other things. because one, I want to fend and make sure that I can support my family, right, with money and stuff like that. One, two, it's because it's what I've always done, and I've always thought of that was my, like, you have to hustle and work hard to get a good day in. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way I've always been. I've always been a grinder.
Yeah.
You just said something that my own therapist said to me, where he said, listen, I love your hustle. I love your energy. I love everything about it. It's rare. Like, you, a lot of people that do that, but you'll burn yourself out if you continue to go down this road of just continuing and continuing and continuing. Cause I was telling him, who knows if I stop doing it, if I continue to do it, who knows if that big, I don't know, podcast producer comes in and goes, hey, we're going to bring you on board with what we're, you know, who the big hit might come around, and then I can really get my message out there. And he's like, I get what you're saying, but if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It'll happen anyway. But what you need to do is make sure that you're right. You got to make sure that you are investing in you and that you're not empty. You're not speaking from an empty, depleted cup. You know what I'm saying?
So let me, this, I figured this out, and it was, I'm sure my therapist nudged me on this. She liked to nudge me on a lot of things.
Me too.
They're good for that. I love when they disarm you. Like, they'll say something that they'll bring back as a look at their notes from five sessions ago and be like, well, tell me about this. And you're like, oh, I can't. Yeah, you're right. I can't defend that. Like, I'd like to. But so you've been like this your entire life. Part of you identifies with this. And I'll tell you what, man, there is no better feeling than you have that night where you're at the end of the night, you got a lot of stuff done and you are exhausted. Your head hits the pillow and you feel it through your entire body. You're just like, like that. You're like, give it to me. But here's the other thing that I can guarantee you for you. You have done this stuff for so long that if you took a step back and said, how could I accomplish what I accomplish? And basically put us, is there anywhere I can put systems in place? I'm not saying automate your life. Right. I think there's, especially in the personal development space, I think there are people that turn into productivity robots where they show up just to literally check the checkbox every day. And I think there's a fine line. This is why I think intent matters. But I think if you're somebody that is really driven to do big things, I think if you look at your systems and how you operate within the work that you do, you will find ways to do the same things you're doing now, but do it with a lot less stress on you. And I'll tell you what, I know your wife is very supportive, and I've told you how there's no coincidence that a lot of my systems instructors came into place after Heather and I got together, and she started, like, you know, I would ask her for, like, what do you see here? And she would tell me the things, kind of like the therapist, honestly. I'm like, oh, yeah, how about that? Yeah. Here's the thing, man. You've put all this work in. You know how to do this stuff. How can you put a system in place? How can you set this up to where if the big producer does come in, or if you get picked up to do something else, like, you're ready and you can actually hand it off to somebody else and say, here's how I do this. But you're not going to be overextending yourself. Right. I would really think about that at some point. And it'll probably be an ongoing thought process, but I'm going to tell you what, man, once I started to realize that I was doing some things inefficiently, and that there was a better way, it came together, but a lot of that didn't start happening until I did put the parameters around my schedule. And it was kind of a short-term lull for, you know, what's going to be in long-term gains.
Well, it's like you set boundaries. Set boundaries, right? I mean, that's pretty cool, man. No, that's good advice, man. I wrote that down on my notes over here because I think I think it's important to, you know, think about those kind of things because, one, again, I'm an all-in kind of guy, just like with dieting and with everything else. You're all in. I'm all in. Let's go. Working out. I'm all in. And then next thing you know, you burn yourself out so fast afterwards. You're like, oh, you know what? Well, I was all in, but, man, I'm beat. I'm crushed. You know, that kind of stuff. So
It gets you because, like, if you're all in on something, dude, like that first week, you're like, I can't be fazed.
Right.
Then you get 2 or 3 weeks down and you're doing it. You're like, I'm a machine. I can't fall apart. Then you get injured. And then you have like a ice cream. And then you don't know what happened like the 3 months after that. That's how it goes.
Oh, it's so true, man. It's so true. And that could be a whole nother set of topics of overcoming those adversities in life and whatever else is throwing you away. I think it's interesting because one of the other things that you said to me is this, and I can relate to this a lot, what you just said around the fact of when you first started coming onto social media, you started sharing your story, you started talking about stuff or whatever it was, like your moments in the car when you're having just a quick note or anything like that. You said that you felt like the playing field was even. You had an even playing field when you, because people weren't looking at you just because of the CP. They weren't looking at you just because of any kind of impediment or anything like that. You literally were just like me. I'm like you, you're like me. And now you can listen to my message or hear what I'm saying to you or even trying to bring to the table without any kind of noise happening at that moment in time, right? It's like kind of like, oh, what's this guy have to say? And then later when they found out, oh, hey, wait a minute. Oh, wow, man, are you kidding me? So it's sad that it's that way, to be honest with you, that people judge or people look at you weird or anything like that. Yeah. And I'm not, in your situation, CP, with mine, I've always been a big fat guy my whole life. My whole life, I've been a big guy. I was the offensive lineman. I just, yes, big guy. I was always on the weight cusp. And when I was in the military, they were always like, you got to lose a couple pounds to stay in. I'm like, ah. So I had all these things going on. But yeah, at the end of the day, everybody, I got the looks, I got the jeers, I got the people looking at me like, oh, really, dude? Like, you know, like this whole attitude that people had that almost made me be, I wanted to fight back even more because I was like, I'm going to break that mold. You need to find out who I am, yeah, because you can't just judge me for what you see on the skin or what's on the exterior right here. How about you dive in and understand what my message is or what I'm trying to bring to the table or just being a good person and a kind person. So it's sad that we're there, but I'm glad that you chose, hey, wait a minute, this kind of feels right here, that I feel it gave you almost permission to do the things that you had to do, you know?
So, and there's something else, like, so in that, actually, that is when I first got online, and that is probably, I probably didn't dive into this much until probably the last 3 or 4 months. Now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, really, when it comes to being online, like, I love that I don't fit in any box. There's right, a number of things that I do. And my big thing is building a brand and a business. And I want to get attention on that message of that business through social media, through in-person events, through anything that I can, which is nice because I'm going to tell you what, like one of the companies I worked for, the corporate marketing team with, they worked with influencers. Like they were telling me, I remember in a meeting, like, well, we won't even, they only have 500,000 subscribers. I'm like, are you kidding me? So like, but then you hear some of these conversations and then you think about it and you're like, it's so wild. And this is one of the reasons I've gone to, this is one thing that email protects me with, is like, I'm not at the mercy of an algorithm. I'm not at the mercy the stuff going on with TikTok, the fact that like all the sounds have been removed.
I know.
Yes, there's the constant thought, like, I don't like that. I don't want to wake up one day and, you know, like email, I'm doing non-conventional things with email. They'll tell you that an email rate, well, we want 10% open rates. I will get on my Instagram story every day that I send it out and put a timer and say, I'm sending this out at 127 Eastern. Check your email at 127 Eastern. Why 127? My birthday is January 27th. So I'm going to put that as part of my branding. Like there's, I think, and this is something I think for anybody that is a content creator or that is trying to do a business, and it's really hard because you have to do the trends because that's going to be what gets you to hit the waves of people. But you also want to be, like we talked about earlier, you want to be authentic. Look at those things that people tell you are best practices. But again, look at kind of your angles or your wrinkles within there, because that's where you're going to come through. And regardless of if something hits the algorithm or not, it's going to be a very satisfying message to you, even if like 1 or 10 people see it.
Well, I love the email part of it too, because I also have a newsletter that I'm not as effective as I should be on that. But the thing about the newsletter is that those are people that have chosen to subscribe to you. Those are people that have chosen to say, hey, outside of the algorithm, outside of being in your For You pages or Reels or whatever else, they've chosen, I like what this person brings to the table. I want to sign up for the things that they're doing. And so now you're building community outside of that social media aspect of it, where it's a more of a intimate conversation that you're having through your email purposes and the things that you do, and kind of updating people of what you're doing or any of those kind of things. I think that that's pretty great. That's a great insight to be in there, because everybody wants to get on the social media to be able to, whether it is the trend or anything like that, if you are a social media creator, but if it's not hitting on that algorithm, what a defeated thing it is for you when you're looking at the fact that you put hours of work into something and that now you get 10 likes or 10 views on it. And you're like, wait, I have 50,000 followers and I got 10 views. Wait, what?
They are doing some wild stuff now over there. It's gotten. But I have to cut myself off here, because that's a whole nother topic.
Absolutely.
But like one, so the other thing that I'll say, and you never know if what's going to happen, if a sound's going to get removed, or if a video is going to get taken down, and that's not just TikTok, that's anywhere.
Right.
But one of the easiest things I think to do, if you have social media content, is start your own blog and just take a screenshot of that particular video and then link to it. Every social media post has a link. And that way, like, cause some of, I know I use Squarespace for my website. So like they charge for everything. So I had a thing where they were hosting videos and all that. And I'm like, now I'll just give me an image and I'm going to just link to it. Like I normally would put the little, I get in Canva and I put the little play button on it. It's the same thing. So, you know, do things like that. And I mean, that's another thing as far as pivoting. So, you know, I saw probably a year and a half ago that the social media platform started to really push subscriptions. And I was like,
right,
they're keeping the data and they're having us charge people. Oh, that's sneaky. So I was like, well, I'm going to build an on-demand platform. I basically looked at Netflix. I'm not doing it anymore. That's why I can tell you about how I did it. Yeah. I looked at Netflix. I'm looking at this home screen and how everything slides over. I'm like, I want to do that. So I looked at how I could do that. I had little page summaries. I had, and I had each post was organized through a blog, and I did that. And I ran this site and I had people subscribing to it, which anytime somebody pays to the first time anybody pays for anything, aren't you kind of just like, man, that's, people are actually seeing it. Cool. But I learned through all this. But then once I started thinking, well, wait a minute, because I was paying to host these videos, I can just do this on the YouTube thing. Do I need this extra blog? Because my two main sites, which is yourlevelfitness.com and darylperry.com, they have the blog feature. So I built the blogs out as soon as I was satisfied with that. I canceled doing the subscription site. And this is the other thing I'll do is like, I let people, like there was an automated email, but like I went through the list of people and I was just like, I send them quick messages. I'm like, hey, you know, like this is going away. Thank you for supporting. And that's really what I said.
Yeah.
I did say that I was now doing this on the blog, but what that got me to do was what so many other people do, and I know you're familiar with this, is Patreon. I've never done Patreon. And the one thing the guy that I subscribe to on Patreon, I love his behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Personally, for my message, I think the content needs to be free. The context can be paid for. So I had to think of like what my tiers were going to be. So now people, I have one that's like the little one that we're like, it's $1 a month. Come on. Can't you help me? Like, you believe my message? It's $1 a month.
For $1 a day. For one.
That's right. But then like the other ones, it's just trying things out. Like at this level, I send out, you know, mailer things, and I just started on Patreon. Like I don't even have a patron yet. So who knows? Maybe I have some by the time this episode comes out. But, and then the other one is like the t-shirt of the month club is this thing where it's basically, it's going to be a custom shirt that you can't get through the shop, and it's going to have a little emblem on the outside each month.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So all kinds of stuff.
So, So different ways that people can find you, Daryl, because we're coming up to it on the top of the hour here. The different ways that people can find you. Already, I have a list right down below, guys. If you're looking at it, Your Level Fitness, can you just let everybody know where they can find you, or if they wanted to find out all the different things? I want you to let them all know all of them. So let us know.
So just go to the websites, guys. Go to yourlevelfitness.com. Go to darylperry.com. That's going to have all the links, social and otherwise, right there. So yeah, just go to those two sites and check me out.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's been a pleasure tonight, man. I know, like we always say, after we do any of these interviews or even have conversations, I'm always walking away going, oh, I learned a little bit of this and I learned a little bit of that. And this is kind of cool. And we can jam out like that. If you guys do go follow Daryl and then follow him on the socials and whatever else, now you kind of have the insight to where he's at, right? Why he does what he does. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring him on board with you. And for all the folks that listen to the podcast too that have not seen him before, his content's great. He gives very thoughtful, like I love it when I can pop up on, whether it's through Instagram or even on TikTok, and he's sitting in the car and he's got his belt on and he'll just make a quick comment. It doesn't have to be anything from like, hey, you know what? Have faith in yourself, man. You got this. Or any, like, you guys know that that's something that I do a lot too. And I think that that's why we mesh so well together, because I feel like you can make an impact with a 30-second or a 15-second statement in 2 seconds. One person needs to see that. They're going to see it, and they're going to be inspired by it. So I love the hell out of you, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you coming on board with the podcast, and keep doing what you're doing, man. You're going to inspire so many people, especially in the community, whether it's CP community or anything like that. They're going to see your story, and somebody's going to be inspired and motivated to go just be the best version of themselves because of you, man. And I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. I love you. And we'll do it again very soon.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you.